In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle speaks of love. Without love, nothing is gained. So what is love? God is love. But what does that mean? It means that Jesus will suffer, die, and rise on the third day. Love is an action. It seeks the best interest of someone else. So love does not dwell in the emotions of an individual, but love dwells in the will of an individual. Love is a choice, not a response. So love is not a feeling in God's heart, but love is a bloodied man on a cross. That defines love. Contrast that with how we use the word love. And it's not wrong with how we use it, but just realize how shallow we can be at times with this word love. We love a good meal, or we love a sunny day because of what it affords us. But as soon as the clouds come and we have rain for about a week or so, as soon as the meal is past, we no longer feel that love. It's not sinful, but just again, recognize how shallow our love and use of that word can be. The romantic is a little bit deeper, but not much. His love also resides in his heart, in his emotions, and he does want to do something good for someone else, but it's not completely selfless, for he expects to be loved in return. Maybe it's with a happy wife. Maybe it's with a smile or a good evening. Maybe it's nothing more than a thank you. But he still wants something back. And if it is not given, eventually, his love will fade. Again, not necessarily wrong, but just how shallow it is. This is not the love that St. Paul speaks about. St. Paul speaks of a love that is completely selfless, completely done for an individual, sacrificial entirely, without ever expecting anything in return, not even a thank you. Jesus reveals that love to his disciples as he tells them about his death and resurrection. He did not endure the cross for himself, but for them, because he knew that they, along with the rest of mankind, could never attain heaven on their own, so he willingly goes to the cross to redeem them. There was no other way. Death was it. So willingly he stretched out his hands, and willingly he opened his side to send forth a baptismal flood that could actually cleanse the world of its wickedness. True love, the most deep form of love, is wrapped in a bloodied, crucified God standing over death and the grave triumphantly, so that fallen man might become saints of God. As Jesus finishes describing all of this to his disciples, the depths of his love for them, St. Luke records, "The disciples understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said." They knew what the words meant. They knew what crucifixion was. They knew who the Gentiles were, and flogging and death. They knew all of those things. But they did not see how spear, nails, death, blood, and a cross is love. Especially when one can prevent those things from happening. In our minds, love is stopping pain whenever and wherever you can. Whether that's a mental, emotional, or physical pain does not matter. Our definition of love, the deepest it will go, is removing those things. So if you can prevent this, then why not? That just highlights how much deeper God's love is for man. For he could have stopped it, but he chose not to. So we have to add this little word to our definition of love. It is not simply an action done on behalf of someone else, but it is a willing action. A parent can feed a child. But that may not be a loving activity because it's done out of coercion or force because I'm the parent and have to do it, or simply so they stop complaining. That is not love. Love desires to be a benefit to other people. Love desires to fulfill one's vocation, whether at work or at home, because God has put me here in this place to be a benefit to others. That is love. And so Jesus picks up his cross and goes. Knowing that these sinners can never repay him for what he is about to do for them. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, done willingly for them. So one will betray him. The rest of his disciples will abandon him. His own countrymen will expedite his death. The Gentiles will beat and flog him. The women will weep. Even Simon of Cyrene will hasten his demise by carrying his cross quickly toward Golgotha. No one did anything for him, but all caused him pain and sorrow. And that reveals the depths of his love. For he expects nothing from the sinner, but he gives every drop of blood for the sinner. He could have stopped it, but he could not consign sinners to hell. He did not want his disciples to abandon him, but he loved them. He did not like the blind man stuck in his blindness, so he healed him. His love is not a feeling, but it is a willing action that always results in the salvation of man. So do not follow the 12's ignorance. It is paradoxical to say that God is love and then to despise the crucifix. That is the love of God. An action, a death, blood, sweat, tears, thorns, nails, spear, a cross for you. Though your sins be like scarlet, in his blood they are now as white as snow. We often don't see this crucifix as the love of God because we judge it based on how it makes us feel. And we don't feel all that happy, sentimental, or loving as we see our God naked on a tree. But no one can create a more perfect image of love than what our Father gave to us on that Good Friday. His Son bearing our sins. Yes, God does give us his love and family and friends and all other earthly blessings. They are flowing from the love of God, but recognize the degree there. For all of these pale in comparison to what was shown to us on Good Friday and what is expressed to us here. None can atone for sin but him alone. None else saves. None else is as loving as God in your place, so that you might stand with him in his. So how shameful of the disciples, and at times how shameful of us, for not seeing his death as his love. And then questioning why God doesn't appear to be loving. He chooses your life over his own life. You who are a sinner, conceived and born in sin, who have nothing to offer him, no way to increase him, and yet still he chooses you over his own life. He did not like the world, but he loved the world. He does not like it when you sin, but he still loves you. And so he comes to you still. What can you add to him? Can you complete him in some way? Do you make heaven a better place, as is so often said when a loved one dies? Do you make this sanctuary more holy? Of course not. God's love is completely undeserved. He doesn't need you in the least, and yet he acts as if he does. You bring your sin, and he comes to take away your sin. So love is not a feeling that you get when you enter into the sanctuary, but love is an action that flows from God to you as he announces the forgiveness of sins once more. Forgiveness is the fruit of his cross, and so forgiveness is God's great love for you. He could give you nothing better, nothing greater, nothing more deep than what he won for you on that cross. The disciples did not understand that, but the blind man saw that. And so he rejoiced following God as he went to Jerusalem to win that salvation. Our version of love is often freedom from pain. But God's love is filled with thorns, nails, spear, blood, sweat, tears, a cross, and death. Scripture says God disciplines those he loves. So you have cancer, physical limitations, and weaknesses because God loves you. You endure storms and floods and natural disasters because God loves you. Even the pain we see in the government, even the difficulties in other governments, reveal the height of God's love for us, because he is driving us back to where his love is revealed. Those who throw up their arms and say, if God truly is loving, then why doesn't he take away our pain or remove this suffering? Those who echo such sentiments stand with the disciples unaware of what God's love truly is. They want to judge God based on their own definition of love and not based on what God has given to us. But those who have the eyes of the blind man, those who see even as he sees, will see the love of God radiating from a cross as he declares to you once more, I forgive you all your sins. Love is found in the cross. Someday our eyes will be opened, and someday we will see that love in his hands and in his side and in his face. For those marks, his holy wounds, are his love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.